To adult Bible class and Sunday school, and let us sing God's praises this morning. Number 33, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Wonderful hymn of praise to God, and if you're physically able to, please stand with us as we worship the Lord this morning. When was this song written? Does anybody know? Everyone's looking at it. When was it written? Long time ago. It was written, 1500s. Very long time ago, right? And what's it talking about?
God is our strength and it will never fail us.
Okay, good. Great summary. What else? What's that? The God of Jacob. Okay, good. What? How about? Good. God's strength, or else we'll lose. And who is the enemy? Who does it talk about the enemy? Yes.
Satan.
Okay. So let's see. Let's sing that third verse. Actually, that's what we're preaching about today on the morning worship service: is the occult realm. And the satanic realm, and how the devil has made it to masqueraded it to look like something innocent. So let us sing that third verse and praise the Lord this morning.
And on this world with devils
we tremble.
How many are glad for that song? Say amen.
Amen.
Wonderful song. Reminder that we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But let's remember that Jesus, Lord of Sabaoth, he is the one who's going to put that mighty death knell to Satan one day soon. After the millennial kingdom, and Satan won't be able to do anything anymore to anybody, or his demons. So let us bow together in prayer this morning. Brother Hodge, Deacon Hodge, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear God, we give you thanks for this day that you have made. And Father, we thank you for your goodness and your love, your grace, your tender mercies, Lord. We thank you.
Amen.
Lord, we pray this day as we worship, Lord, together in this building, that you would be glorified.
Pray amen.
For those who are not with us, who might be struggling through sickness, Father, we ask you to heal and touch on their bodies.
Amen.
Bring them up and strengthen them, Lord. Soon they can be with us again.
Amen.
And we think of those who might yet be on the way, to bring them safely, Lord, to give you glory, praise, and thanks. Lord, we thank you for all this that you have done for us, and lots more. This we ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Stay standing for our pledges. Come on up, pledge leaders. Give us a hand. Take the American flag, the Christian flag, or bring your Bible up.
Or hold one of the cards.
Let us say our pledges. Okay, we'll start with the American flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands, one Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again, with life and liberty to all who believe.
Bible,
I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Thank you. You may be seated. Great job, young people. And thank you for your help. I'm looking forward to Master Club's regionals coming up, where they're all going to either teach a Bible lesson or do a craft or an art project or something Christian that they can do and present and show and share. We look forward to that special time, March, end of March, right after our revival meeting. So we have a lot of great things coming up. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings this morning. And God brought us through another week. You may come, ushers. And he is keeping us and sustaining us. And I pray for those who are not feeling well. God's hand would be upon them. Genesis 28:22, Abraham said, "All thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." That's what Jacob said to God. And God gave and blessed Jacob. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for the day of the money about to see if the Lord is my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, do we have any birthdays or anniversaries? We have quite a few, I think, this week, right?
Mine and Bono's was yesterday.
Well, Harry didn't come today because he's trying to check my first birthday.
Okay, so Eric, James, and Jimmy all conspired together to be born near the same day many years ago. All right, come on up, James and Jimmy. And, okay, and Paul, I believe your birthday is this week, and Nancy's is next week. Is it next week, Nancy? This Thursday, wow, okay, the 21st, right? Wow, and then Paul's is Friday, and Jimmy and James was yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, great, excellent, wow.
We went to Hibachi Grill yesterday.
You went to Hibachi Grill, and you didn't? Wow, yeah, that sounds great. Sounds like a great meal. What'd you have for dinner?
Everything. Two times I went up.
Okay, all right. Sounds like fun.
And I bought a cake for us.
All right, so we'll go youngest. We'll go ladies. Okay, so we'll stop and we'll do all four names, okay? We'll do Miss Nancy, and then Paul, then Jimmy, and James. All right, let us go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Miss Joyce and Paul and Jimmy and James. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
Amen.
And they should all say happy birthday for us.
Wonderful. All right, Nancy's given to the missionaries on her birthday. You ever wondered what the slot in the cake is for? It's for the missionaries to give on your birthday. Great time to give to the missionaries. All right. Speech. What are you thankful for? We want to hear what the birthday lady and men are thankful for. We'll start with Nancy.
I'm thankful for coming back to this church.
Amen. Wonderful. All right. Paul?
Having a church to serve.
Amen. Jimmy?
Yeah, I have friends and family that care about me.
Amen. James?
All the staff and program, they care about me.
All right. Wonderful. Amen. Okay. All right. This time we will do our kids' song, and then we'll dismiss for our classes. Let's do our kids' song. Come on up, young people. Our teen and kids' song. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily prayed he three times. Okay, you want to hold it up? Okay. It's to the tune of Near the Cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Okay, let's give it a try. Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily prayed he three times. Till one day okay, good. You learned the new one today. The kids love that. When I was little, my mom would sing this in junior church, and that was always fun. All right, this time you are dismissed to your Sunday school classes. The rest of us, let's turn in our Bibles as we take some prayer requests this morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, as we look at a new study of in God's Word. And let's take some prayer requests as we do that. Who has a prayer request this morning? Okay, Nicole?
My mother...
Hmm.
She
Okay. Let's pray for Nicole's mom. Do you know if she's saved or not?
She claims to be.
Okay.
I don't think she is.
Okay. What's her name?
Barbara.
Barbara, okay. Anyone else? Yes, Jimmy.
My mom's supposed to get her surgery soon.
Patty Eby on her neck, right?
Yes.
Okay. And Joey.
I'd like to pray for all the people that are not saved, that they may come to know the Lord.
Amen.
How is your family? Are the kids sick?
Yes, there are some of them that are sick. Lydia has a bad sore throat, and so pray for her. And
the baby too.
Yes, Faith has got a bad sore throat and cough. So we're probably going to have to take her into the doctor tomorrow. So pray for her, Faith. All right, anyone else? James.
One staff here, right?
Okay, so what's her name? Okay.
For Ethan.
Okay, Ethan.
Please pray for him. Before he graduates, he has to do a speech at Ambassador Baptist College.
He'll be okay. Preaching his sermon. But it's not until
April. April, okay. His final sermon. All right. That in chapel? Does he get the whole chapel time? Or maybe half?
I think so. Wow. As of now, it's for April 15th at 10 in the morning, but I don't know if that date has changed, but that was the last.
Okay. That's an honor to get the whole chapel service. So that's pretty neat. Okay, so tune in to hear Ethan on April 15th. What's the website?
It's Ambassadors with an S.
Okay.
Ambassadors.edu, and they do have chapel services every morning at 10 o'clock, except for Wednesday. And then, of course, all the sermons are streamed, archived.
Okay.
That's always available.
Yeah, so check that out, ambassadors.edu, for some great messages from God's Word, excellent messages. Anyone else? Pat. Okay. Pray for Jeff and Comar. Anyone else?
Pray for me and my family.
Okay, Essie and family. And Danny, how's the house coming?
Just finished up the floors of my master bed, and now it's the living room and hallway and the dining room.
All right, wonderful.
Coming along to the final stretch there.
Okay, amen. So let's pray for Brother Danny and God to give him strength with this last push. All right, anyone else? Any other prayer requests to mention? All right, let's go to prayer at this time. Does anyone want to help pray for some of these? Okay, Evan, anyone else? Or whatever you want to pray for. Anyone else? Okay. All right. Evan, you go first, and then I'll close.
Dear Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for Paul here. But we want to pray for Lydia and Faith, help them with their calls on Ethan. Help him as he do his speech for Nancy on March 7th. I just pray for her surgery to go well and help Regina's family and Joe's mom and help Joe as well. And she's my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to pray to you and to give our request to you. We know that you tell us that the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and if he have committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Lord, we thank you that you help us pray for one another, and especially for those who are not saved yet, that they would trust Christ as Savior and that they would grow in you. Lord, we pray that we know that you're the only one who can touch their hearts and awaken them to their need of you. We pray especially for Nicole's mom, Barbara, whatever her spiritual needs are, that you would just meet those needs, whether it be for salvation or for or for rededication, Lord. And pray for Jimmy with his mom's surgery coming up soon. Lord, we pray you'd be with Patty, EB, that you'd guide the doctor's hands and bless them. And be with all the salvation of those who are not saved yet, Lord, that you would just save them. Help us to do our job to witness to them, our family members, our loved ones, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, that you'd help us to seek out the lost and talk to them about you and invite them to church. We pray for Lydia and Faith who are not well. We pray you just put your healing hands upon them and help them as they go to the doctor tomorrow. We pray to also be with Jimmy and James's staff as they lost some family. We pray you just be with them. Give them your healing touch this time and whatever their spiritual needs are, whether for salvation or comfort, that you would just give them what they need. Pray also be with Ethan as he prepares for his final message coming up as he finishes his master's degree in May. Lord, we pray you just give him your guidance and direction as he preaches in April, April 15th, and we pray that you just bless him as he gets down to the final semester here and getting ready for marriage. We pray you bless Shay as well. Help her to finish strong as she graduates from college, and we pray you just line everything up for them as they continue to seek you. You would lead and guide, direct them, and pray to also be with Jeff and Komar for their spiritual needs, Lord, that you would just do a mighty work there. That you save Jeff and help Komar to come back to you. And think of Esty and her family. We pray you just be with them, strengthen them. Pray for Danny as he finishes his house. We pray you just thank you that you helped him get the bedroom finished, the floor. We pray now for the other floors and items, the kitchen items and the other floors, that you'd help him to finish that up quickly, Lord, for your honor and glory, that his family may be able to move in completely. And we pray you just bless and guide this Sunday school time, that you'd help us to learn and grow from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians 1, chapter 1 and verse 3 is where we are in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 3. Who would like to read verses 3 through 5? And then 6 through 9. Okay, Trisha 3 to 5, Danny 6 to 9, and Pat 10 through 13.
You did say chapter 1.
Yes, chapter 1.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ in himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence.
Verse 9 as well.
Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself.
Okay, Pat.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that, ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
All right, so here we see some really important things. What are some of the spiritual blessings we have as believers this morning? We just read our spiritual bank account. Some of our spiritual bank account, anyways. What are some of those great blessings that we have as believers? Heaven?
It says spiritual blessings in number 3, spiritual blessings.
Yes, we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's wonderful. Okay, so when you, if you think, well, when's the last time God blessed me with anything? Well, just every day you wake up, you have access to all spiritual blessings that He has foreordained, that all those who would trust in His Son Jesus should get all these spiritual blessings. So God was thinking of you when He laid out all the spiritual blessings we'd get: salvation, sanctification, redemption, adoption, then all the things that we, as we grow in the Lord, that He would draw us closer to Him, that He would, Philippians 1:6, that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to keep on working on you, and He's going to keep on drawing you closer to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so all these wonderful things we could go through. He has angels watching out for you. He has guardian angels protecting you. He has just any untold blessings every day that we had no, you know, we can't literally see unless we look for them, okay? And unless we read our Bibles, we will, the average Christian sometimes forgets about all these things. What, who else? What are some of those that we see here in this passage? Your spiritual bank account.
We have redemption and forgiveness.
Amen. Amen. Dominique? That's okay. Redemption and forgiveness. Good. He bought us back out of the slave market. Again. What else? Teens, you're in my class this morning. Come on. Come on, teens. Put on your thinking cap. What's that? The blood. Amen. The blood of Jesus has been shed on our account. What else? What's that?
Grace.
Giving us what we don't deserve, the unmerited favor of God. You know, we are not anything special to think about in ourselves, but God has showered His grace upon us. It's unmerited favor. Now we have favor with God. Not that we earned it ourselves. It's unmerited through Jesus. What else? So don't think of yourself as an old sinner that's hopeless and stubborn and, you know, no, think of yourself as a sinner saved by grace, set apart for God. What else, Paul?
Inheritance.
Good. What's our inheritance? What's that?
Christ.
He is our chief inheritance. And what's our down payment? Verse 12, 13. What's our down payment? The Holy Spirit of promise. Okay. We're sealed by Him. Okay, teens, can you pass in your phones just so we don't have any distractions, please? Okay, you can give them to Mr. Hodge right behind you. He'll put them in the basket. We have the basket for that purpose. Thank you. Much better things going on than the internet or the friends or whatever else. Anything else? What else? Spiritual blessings. Okay, Danny.
Making known the mystery of His will.
Amen.
We're able to know what the Lord wants for us, for our lives, and for us as a church and the future. And the fact that He allowed us that privilege to know these things. Not just to be wandering kind of aimlessly in the world, but know that we have purpose and we have tasks and jobs to do. And praise the Lord for that too.
Amen. Yeah, that's what it says in the bulletin. In the bulletin at the back page, it says, T. DeWitt Talmage, a great preacher of the past, said, "Do what God calls you to do, and you are a success." F.B. Meyer says, you do not test the resources of God until you attempt the impossible. That we are not just saved to sit, we're saved to serve. Find out that next thing that God is calling us into, whatever ministry or whatever God's will is for our, the next part of God's will is for our life. That's good. He has a wonderful part of His will for us. Okay, anyone else? Yes, Tricia.
You know, just going back to verse 5, that that we're adopted. I know in my own life it's so easy to forget about that and the importance of remembering that I am a child of the King and what that really means. So not only is that do we each have a challenge to represent Him in a God-honoring way, to please Him and be a testimony and a witness to others, but it's how many times it's so easy to forget those resources that are available to us by going to our Heavenly Father who is King. And so if each one of us as sons and daughters are princes and princesses, would we ignore, you know, what our Father would have to offer to us if we had an earthly king who was a father? I would think not.
Mm.
But yet, how many times do we not go to God for help? That we just do things our own way, and then we realize that God, He's the one that lovingly understands us more than anybody, and He wants to help us.
Amen. Amen. We have the privileged access Amen. To the King of Kings. And so John 3:16 says that Jesus is the only what? The only what? Yes.
Only begotten Son.
Very good. Only begotten Son. Now the new versions change it to one and only Son. Is that true? One and only, Jesus is the one and only Son. That is not true. That's a false statement. So if you have a new version, unfortunately you have just one of many false statements in there. Notice the Greek is very precise. Only begotten Son. Why is Jesus, what's the difference between Jesus being the begotten Son and we all as sons and daughters Amen. Of God? What's the difference? What does that word begotten mean? The only one who came from God. Exactly. He's the only one who's begotten of God. That means he is deity. He is God. Okay? We all are the sons and daughters of God, as it says in John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So God has many sons, but He has only one begotten Son. So notice here, that's why we use the King James. Not because we're legalists, not because of this and that and the other and whatever else people try to throw at those who still use the King James, but it's because it's the only precise Bible. The other ones have errors in them. And they contradict each other in little things, big things. As Dr. Waite mentioned last week, 350 different places where it affects doctrinal verses that are changed that affect doctrine. Okay, and I've highlighted a lot of those this summer when the Dean Burgon Society was here. But that's just scratching the surface. And then you say, well, if there's only 350 verses that are different, why don't we use it? No, it's not only those 350 verses that are doctrinally changed, but then you have all the other dynamic equivalents. Instead of word-for-word rendering, okay, the King James is a word-for-word translation. The NIV is a dynamic equivalence translation, which means it's going to translate phrase by phrase. And, well, let's try to get the thought of this phrase, and then we'll put it as this phrase. Well, can you really, even the best translators, really do that and get an accurate translation? No, because you are going to try to reinterpret that phrase to what you think is the best rendering, but it's not actually precise because it's not a word-for-word rendering. What's that? Exactly. And then it makes the translators, then the priests, we are above you readers. We will tell you what this phrase means. And we will tell you what that phrase means. And so the translators become the the go-between, the mediators between you, us and God. And so they tell us what the Bible says instead of us letting us read the Bible for what it says. Yes?
And so I like the one guy that was, he said he authored the one version of it. He renounced all connection to it. He said, listen, I don't want nothing to do with this. I don't want my name attached to it anymore because I believe he said he thinks God is upset with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did that, you know. He interpreted it, you know, in his own way. He said that wasn't right.
Yeah, Frank Logsdon, the New American Standard Version, put it out by in 1971, and then he paid a lot of money in his foundation, the Lockman Foundation, to get this Bible done, the NASB, and as he was going through it, and as he was overseeing it, and all, he said, this is frightfully wrong what we are doing. We are literally telling people what the Bible says instead of just translating what the Bible says. And he says there are many, many things that God is doing. Some of the translators on the NIV committee actually lost their voices and became talking like frogs. Same thing, Westcott and Hort, the two guys in the 1880s that redid the Greek New Testament, they literally lost their voices before they died. And then they died, and it was not good death, they died. Why? Well, because God's judgment was upon them because they were changing the Word of God. And God, what did God say in Revelation 22? Before he closed the Bible with the Apostle John, he said he will add the if any man add to the words of this book, he's going to do what?
Add the plagues.
You know, what were some of those plagues? Well, sure enough, people were had horrible things happen to them. And so we see there's a definite connection. So that's why we use the King James, because only begotten Son. That's crucial. That's crucial doctrine right there. That alone is enough. Back in the 1900s, when 1901 RSV came out, they changed in Isaiah 7:14. They changed virgin to young woman. That one mistranslation was enough to get all Bible-believing Christians to say, we're not going to adopt the 1901 American Standard Version because of that. We're going to stick with our King James. Well, that was 1901. Well, then they redid it in 1971. And all of a sudden, it was the same. They just retranslated it back to virgin. But then they changed they left all the other renderings in there. 1971, only this time many Christians now adopted it. The new Revised Standard Version of the ASV. What happened? What changed? Did God change? Did His Word change? No, what happened is Christians slowly got used to the idea of, well, we can change the words of God. And then that started the whole snowball. 1971 on started the whole snowball. And so you could just see how the devil is, he knows he can't win in one day. So he'll take years and years and years. Yes. Yes.
There's like this book. It's not kind of like a Bible, but it's not. And it kind of makes you understand more. Like it breaks it down for you. Because you know, like some verses, like King James, it's like begotten and thou, but it's like more English like.
Okay. That's what we're talking about. Yes, when they're actually they say they're breaking it down for you, but actually what they're doing is they're re-giving you a different word than what is there in the Greek or in the Hebrew. They're now saying, we're going to make it easier for you to understand, so we're going to pick this word. And it's not what's actually in the Greek and Hebrew. Yes?
They actually add into the Bible. That's what they do, add to the Word of God. And that's what everything is said in Revelation, to add to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Very dangerous. So that's why we use the King James. Love it. Read it every day. Study it. If you don't understand a word, look it up in the dictionary. Look it up in a Strong's Concordance. If you want a Strong's Concordance to borrow, I have a few in my office. I can lend them out. And it's a very great tool to look up every word that's in the Strong's Concordance. And you can look it up, see what it means. I use it regularly. All right. Any other questions, thoughts? So we look at our spiritual bank account. Okay, so the Bible clearly reveals that God's work, what is the purpose of the church, since creation has been manifest to manifest himself in a way that speaks truthfully about who he is and what he is like. Creation, the fall, the choice of Israel, the birth of Christ, the cross, the redemption, the establishment of the church, and the fulfillment of prophecy all testify to the character of God. Creation reveals his glory, Psalm 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The angels declare his glory, Isaiah 6:3. The Lord Jesus worked for God's glory. Believers are saved for his glory, Ephesians 1:3-14. We are to live for his glory, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Who could quote that one for us? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. So there's our purpose statement. If you want a purpose statement as a Christian, do all to the glory of God is our purpose statement. And that is when life makes sense. That's when life has meaning. That's when we're joyful and happy in God, because we are doing what he put us here on earth to do. That is to praise him. Yes?
In Ephesians 1:8, mm-hmm. What does it mean when it says, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence? Like, does that mean he is filled with wisdom and prudence in us? Or?
Yes, he hath abounded to us. That means he literally comes close to us. With all wisdom and prudence, how does he do that? How does God give us and try to impart to us wisdom and prudence? Any thoughts? Trisha?
I would say through our closeness to him.
Amen. As we get closer to him through the word, he's going to continue to show us more, how to be more wise in our dealings with people, how to be more wise in our relationships, how to be more wise in our work life, home life, community life, and church life. All right, any good question? Does that help? Yes. Nicole.
Wouldn't where we're lacking, wouldn't we like learn through the Holy Spirit?
Yes. There's a big if there. If we're feeding on the Word daily, meditating on it through the day, praying through the day, and then at night reading some more of the Word and meditating on it. You know, there's a big if. Yes, the Lord will show us through the Holy Spirit if we're doing our part. Okay? If we're staying away from the Bible, then God's not, you know, he's going to have to do the hard knock principle, which is, hey, I'm going to hit you upside the head, you know, or I'm going to have to spank you here, you know. So we don't want to get the hard knock part. We want to get the loving teaching from the Word of God every day, and it's a lot smoother for us. All right, any other questions? Okay, let's go back to Ephesians 1 then. So we see, now many misinterpret this passage and say, well, see, God chose some to be saved and chose others to not be saved. But notice verse 13, it says, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Okay, so how do we have this bank account, this wonderful thing that God has just given, showered upon us, all these blessings? Because we first trusted in Christ. So it is available to anyone. God so loved the world. You know, notice there's no exclusivity here. You know, many churches, a lot of the younger churches, you know, the guys my age and younger, you know, they're getting in the pulpit and saying, oh yeah, God chose some to be saved and others to not, and so we basically can't really do much about it, and just keep living for God, and you know, and do, you know, it doesn't matter as much what you do because God's in control anyway. And they teach a perverted form of predestination to where makes God now the author of sin. That, you know, well, if God's going to choose some to be saved, he's going to choose others to not be saved, then that means he just doesn't like them at all, and he's going to send them to hell. Well, that would make God the author of sin. Because you trace it back to, then God's really the one in control of people going to hell. No, God's not. God gives everyone a free choice. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that. As we go through life, you know, God didn't force me to go to church this morning. You know, God didn't say, you better get to church or else, you know. Did anybody have that happen? You know, the Lord came and shook, you know, threw you out of bed. You know, maybe your parents did, but God didn't do that. Notice, Why? Because he gives us choices to make. And so that gives him praise and honor. He is honored and glorified by our choices. You know, how loving would he be if he forced us to do everything? And if he forced us to get saved, and, well, he didn't force that person to get saved, and so my neighbor, they're lost, and they're going to stay lost, because I just know God has chosen them to damnation. No, you could just see who does God become if he is the author of sin? He becomes it's a God, it's like the God of Islam, Allah. Allah has no personal relationship with his adherents, as Muhammad gave the Quran. You know, Allah is standoffish. He doesn't really care about, you know, people that much, because he says, kill the infidels. You know, anyone who doesn't believe in Allah, you know, kill them. You know, cut off their fingers, cut off their heads, cut off their toes, you know, and just kill them. You know, that's the way Allah thinks of people. So is he the one true God? No. That is a fictitious representation of God made by Muhammad, who was actually high a lot of times. Okay, he did a lot of drugs way back in 600 AD. He had a lot of perverted relationships with very young girls. Okay, that he had a lot of wives. He's just a very wicked man, but yet he is revered in Islamic culture as somebody that's, you know, holy. You know, so you could just see how the devil, he tries to get in any way he can to try to keep people away from the truth of the Bible. And so we need to love this book. We need to read it, and we need to fall in love with the Lord every day, because he does give us a choice. He does enforce us, and he wants us to love him, not serve him out of duty, but serve him out of love. All right, any questions about that? Comments? Okay, let's keep going then. The conclusion then is, believers are saved for his glory, as we see here in Ephesians 1. We are to live for his glory and are expected to minister to one another for his glory. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Let's go over there. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Okay, everyone turn. Teens, it's important that you turn every time the pastor says, hey, turn the page, or every time Dr. Waite was here last week, we want to turn to the passages. Why? Because you need to see it for yourself. You need to see the Word of God. God says they were more noble in Berea than they were in Thessalonica. Why? Because they studied the Scriptures daily, whether these things were so. You're not always going to have the luxury of being in a home where you can go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday night and just take in whatever the person in front is saying. What if that person changes? What if you go to college and you go to a church and you say, well, I'll just trust whatever the pastor says. What if that pastor's not an honest pastor? What if they're trying to do what many churches are doing, be dishonest with the word and say, well, we're going to change the church into this because this is where, you know, everyone else is doing this, you know, and they leave a pragmatic reason. Well, you're not going to have anything to defend against it, because if you don't study the word for yourself and look at the verses yourself and say, is that really what it says? Okay, so it's important to be Bereans. Don't just trust someone, or else they become the mediator, and not Jesus being the mediator. Okay, so here we are, and who would like to read 1 Peter 4, 10, 11? All right, Joe?
As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, so how are we to serve? According to these verses, some of us speak, some of us are teachers in this church, some of us are ministers or servants in this church. We do things in this church. So how should we serve? according to verse 10 and 11. Okay? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Serve to our abilities.
Serve to our abilities. Good. God has given you an ability and a capacity to serve in. You say, well, I have the ability, but I don't have the capacity yet. I don't have an area of service. Well, that's what we're trying to find out. As we're now in 2019, we're trying to figure out, okay, which members in the body, well, number one, you have to become a member to serve in an area, okay? So become a member so you can serve in a certain area. Help out with the secretarial work, or help out with the janitorial work, or help out with the this work or that work or the teaching work or this work. You know, become a member, and then the capacities are endless as to what God can do with you. So if you want a capacity, ask God. Say, Lord, show me what your will is for my life. He has a higher will for your life than just at home. Your home life is very important. That's your first ministry. So if you don't do well in your home life, you know, that kind of disqualifies you for ministry. But that's not your only ministry. So your home life is your first ministry. But then from there, God wants you to have a ministry in the local church. Some kind of ministry. Some kind of help to your church. What is that going to be? Okay, so ask God and He will show you, and He will also then give you the ability to do it. He'll give you the energy to do it. He'll give you the strength to do it. As it says in other places, that He gives us the power, 1 Corinthians 12, to do whatever He calls us to do. And then we'll feel fulfilled. You know, maybe you say, I get home every week and I just don't feel fulfilled in life. Well, probably because you don't have a ministry yet. Every one of us needs a ministry of some kind. You don't have to be a head of the ministry, but you could be a part of the ministry in some kind. Some kind of area. So pray and ask God. Okay, so here, as we glorify God, while believers and churches retain their individuality and possess distinctive personalities with personal strengths, weaknesses, emphases, and experience, the singular purpose for which both exist is to glorify God. Okay, so let us look at God and His glory. Okay, we gain a clear understanding of what it means to glorify God by seeing how the word glorify is used in the Bible and how the concept is demonstrated in daily behavior. Okay, both the Old and the New Testament words translated glory and glorify are from terms that mean honor. The primary term used in the Old Testament also connotes heaviness, weight, and wealth. The ideas of heaviness and wealth draw attention to the reputation of the individual. He is considered a weighty person in society, worthy of respect and honor. Such a place of influence may be the result of personal wealth or the result of position of responsibility and authority that commands respect. So glorifying God, as per the Old Testament, is to say that God is worthy of respect and honor that is attributed to Him. The influence of the Old Testament suggests that worship is a specific way of glorifying God, and He has declared that He will not share His glory with another. Isaiah 42:8. The New Testament term implies honor, but further suggests that the honor results from having a good opinion of someone. Thus, glorifying God means to hold a good opinion of Him, and further to solicit good or proper opinions about Him from others, as He is seen and becomes known. The New Testament word suggests that the obedient life of the believer is as important a part of glorifying God as is worshiping Him. Okay? And so we see Old and New Testament definitions of glory, glorifying God, talk about not just what we say, but how we live our life. Okay? Unfortunately, modern day Christianity, what does the word worship mean today in modern day Christianity? What is worship? What do a lot of churches just say, this is worship?
Going to church.
Okay? Some say going to church, the whole realm of going to church, okay?
Giving money.
Giving money, okay? singing. That's what I hear a lot of, anyway. You know, worship is when you sing or when someone is singing. Okay, is that all worship is? Just singing? Boy, what a small... That's the only way... If the only way we can worship God is to sing, what about those who don't have the greatest voices? Are they now just like the second-rate worshipers of God? Yeah? No. We see that singing is just one aspect of God's worship. Literally everything we do all through the week should worship God. You know, we should get up in the morning to worship God. We should eat our meals to glorify God. We should serve our families to glorify God. We should come to church to glorify God. We should hear the preaching of the word to glorify God, to worship Him. And so we see it all, our whole life should involve worship of God. And when we view our whole life as one continual song of worship or a continual testimony of worship to God, then it all makes sense. Worship. Our life is about God's worship. And so here, He is worthy to be worshipped. He is weighty. He carries a great deal of respect and reputation. Why? Because He is the one holy, the thrice holy God, who made heaven and earth, who made us. And so He is worthy of all our worship. Okay, so God is to be glorified. Let's go to John 1, 14 through 18. John 1, 14 and 18. Practically speaking, glorifying God involves the commitment of the believer and congregations of believers to worship and live in such a way that God's reputation is truthfully revealed and enhanced. Such was the testimony John gave of Jesus. Okay, who would like to read that for us? John 1, 14 and 18. Okay, is there Danny?
The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared.
Okay, so no man hath seen God at any time. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. He hath declared Him. Jesus told Philip later on in John 14:9, He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. The Gospel of John makes it clear that saved and unsaved alike concluded that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of Israel. Not all believed on Him, but all had witnessed the character of God. Jesus later taught the disciples that they too bore the responsibility for making God known in the world. They were instructed to live and behave in such a way that those who saw their lives would draw proper conclusions about God. Matthew 5:16. Who can quote that one from memory for us? Matthew 5:16. Jesus said unto them, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works." Amen. So how are we to live so that people can draw proper conclusions about God? How are we to live? Yes, Tricia.
In the way that glorifies God, to honor Him.
Okay. So live purposefully in God's will, purposefully saying, I'm going to show Christ in my thoughts, actions, and words. I'm going to have a close relationship with God in His Word and prayer, in going to church, so that I can have that light, be that light that this world so desperately needs. So here we see glorifying God is about purposeful obedience to His Word, and not just saying, "Well, I'll do it when I get around to it." Okay, God will accept any kind of life I give Him. You know, tonight we're going to look at Hillsong music and Hillsong churches. We're going to look at Southern Gospel. We're going to look at other rock and roll music. And we're going to look at the philosophy behind those churches. And then we're going to compare that to Scripture. And so if you want to see this fleshed out, what does it mean to glorify God? Well, here's some of the things not to do, okay? As we look at those different philosophies of, well, God will accept anything I give him. Okay, so come on back tonight at 7 o'clock to hear and to watch those videos and see the lines drawn from Scripture. But let us close in prayer at this time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time tonight, this morning, to look into your Word, to be reminded that our lives should bring praise, honor, and glory to your holy name. We know without you we can do nothing, and that you alone are worthy to be praised. Not us, not our talents or abilities, because they are so feeble and so temporary. But we know that you are eternal, and that you are loving, and that you care about us, and that you want to bring joy and peace into our lives as we praise you and glorify you, and that you want to bring your Son into others' lives who are not yet saved. Lord, we pray that we would fall in love with you more every day, that we may worship you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, yeah, strong. Yes. Strong concordance. Yes, okay.
Hello, how are you?
How are you, Dominique? How's your shoulder? Good?
How are you?
Good. Okay.
Right here, and it is